Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen. Daf Dalid. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Chaim Setin and his wife Marilyn in honor of Mr. and Mrs. Danny and Belle Bergman. Hashem alehem yichyu. Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Ashenema, the Ben Yitzhak, Ben Tufeha, Enna Refanalo, Enna Refanalo, Enna Refanalo, Betoch She'ar Chole Amo Yisrael. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'aydu Nishmat Hachem Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenichem Began Eden. Amen. We are on Daf Dalet. We're actually at the top line. And the Gemara says, Rav Bar Ahu Rabbi Hiya Ubar Ahte. Rav, who was the son of the brother of Rabbi Hiya, and was the son of the sister of Rabbi Hiya. Now, in order to get the family tree of Rav, so you can figure out how he was simultaneously the son of the brother of Rabbi Hiya and the son of the sister of Rabbi Hiya. So I'll give you the lineage. Now she actually brings it in another place, and I'll tell it to you outside. Let's just read the Rashi by us first. Aibo Abiv Shel Rav. So Rav's father, his name was Aibo. Okay? Now I read you the Mefashim to explain it. Aibo's father was named Rav Acha. Okay? His name was Rav Acha Mikapri. Right, from Kapri. So you have Rav Acha Mikapri, and he has a son called Aibo, and Aibo has a son called Rav. So now the Mefashim explain, Rav Acha Nasa Isha Veholid Aibo. Okay, he married a lady, Aibo's mother. Umeta Ota Isha. That lady died. Shuv Nasa Isha Acheret Veholid Rabbi Hiya. Okay, so he married a second wife, and from the second wife, Rav Acha Mikapri had Rabbi Hiya. So that comes out, Rabbi Hiya and Aibo are half-brothers. Now, Imken Aibo Haya Achiv Shel Rav Hiya Me'abiv Lo Me'imo. Good. Umet Rav Acha. Okay, Rav Acha Mikapri died. Ve'em Rabbi Hiya, so the mother of Rabbi Hiya, Nasba Ba'al. She got married to another fellow, Ve'holid Bat. And she gave birth to a daughter. That daughter becomes Rabbi Hiya's half-sister. Ve'otan Nasba Aibo, and that lady, Rav Hiya's half-sister, married Aibo. Now that girl is not related to Aibo, not from the father, and not from the mother. Okay? So it says, Ach Rabbi Hiya ve'holid Rav, and Aibo had Rav. Imken haya Rav ben Aibo, so Rav the son of Aibo is Ach Rabbi Hiya me'abif, right? It's the his father's brother's son. Aibo's brother is Rabbi Hiya, right? From that, uben achoto me'em, and from the mother Rav's mother is Rabbi Hiya's half sister also. So therefore, from the mother's side, it's also Ben Achoto. It is the son of the sister of Rabbi Hiya. The Achot Rabbi Hiya lo aita kereba le'aibo. That lady that Aibo married was not related to him at all. Of course, he could not marry not a sister and not a half-sister. In any way, that's the way the Avraham Tosfot Chachmei Anglia give you the full the lineage. Anyway, what did he say? So what happened with Rav? Now you know Rav's whole family history. What did he say? So it says, Kisalik lehatam. It says Rav was from Bavel. So he left Bavel and he went to Eretz Israel. So the Gemara says, Amar le. So Rav Hiya sees Rav and he says, Aibo Kayam, is your father Aibo alive? Rav Hiya was asking about his brother. Is my brother still alive? Aibo Kayam? Amar le, so he tells him back, Ima Kayemet. He answers him back with another question. He says, leave Aibo, is Ima, that was the name of Rav's mother. He says, which was also Rav Hiya's half-sister. So he says, is Ima Kayemet? So Amar le, so Rav Hiya says, fine. Ima Kayemet? Is Ima alive? Amar le, Aibo Kayam? He tells him back, is Aibo Kayam? What Rav was trying to do was not to be the bearer of bad news, like we learned in the previous Gemara. The Gemara says, Motze Diba Ukesil. The person that is the bearer of bad news is an imbecile. So therefore, actually, both Aibo had passed away, and both Ima, his mother, her name was Ima, also passed away. Meaning Rav Hiya lost his half-brother and half-sister. So Rav kept on deflecting. Is Aibo alive? He was saying, is Ima alive? Is Ima alive? Or is Aibo alive? So Rav Hiya got the hint that he didn't want to answer directly. Amar le, so Rav Hiya says, he tells his servant, Halotz li min ali, take off my shoes. Ve'olich keli acharai lebet ha-merhatz, and take my clothes and bring it to the bathhouse. Gemara says, Shma'mina tlat. From this story we learn three things. Shma'mina avel asur bin ailat asandal. Number one, you see that somebody is in mourning, it's forbidden for him to wear leather shoes. That's what Rav Hiya told the servant, Halotz min ali, take off my shoes. Furthermore, Vishma'mina shimu'a rechoka ena noheget ela yom ehad. We also see that since it was after 30 days that he heard the news, so the avilut that he has to fulfill is only one day. Because you see, he told him, bring my clothes to the bathhouse. Implying what? That after a short amount of time, he was going to get dressed again, and he was going to shower, etc. So Vishma'mina, we also learn another law. Miksata yom kekulo. Which means you also learn that even that one day that you have to act the avilut is only part of the day. Which means you don't have to sit the entire day or act the avilut. Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, "Veholech keli acharai lebet ha-merhatz lelamed halacha letalmidim mitkaven." Why do you have to say that? Go out of his way and bring my clothes to the bathhouse. He wanted to teach the students halacha. She'en shimu'a rechoka she'achar shloshim yom noheget ela yom ehad. First of all, it's only one day. Umiksato kikulo. And miksata yom kikulo. Ve'en o tzarich lishev kol hayom kulo. He doesn't have to sit the whole day. How do you know? Medamar le veholech li kli acharai lebet ha-merhatz velo imtin ad demachar. He didn't say, you know, wait until tomorrow to go to the bathhouse. Alma sha'a ahadai. You see that what? Even a small amount of time is enough. Comes the Gemara and says, Hahu, there was a certain fellow, the Amar. He would always say, Dunu dini. What is Dunu dini? That she says, Bechol davar masa'u matan shayalo. Anytime this guy would have a business transaction, Im Adam, with a person, Haya omer tamid. He would always say, Bo ladin. He would always say, let's go to bet din. Ve'enu nishma ledvar Adam. He wouldn't hear any person arbitration. Ela al pi dayan. Finish. We're going to court. That was this guy's MO. Anytime there was a business deal with the guy, let's go to Beit Din. Dunu Dini. So the Hachamim, they said what? Let's check out his lineage. Or Amre, they said, Shma mina midan ka'ate. Said, must be this guy comes from the tribe of Dan. Why? Dichtiv, because it says, Dan yadin amo ke'ahad shiftei Yisrael. That the Berakat Jacob Abinu gave Shevet Dan was what? Dan yadin. Dan is going to have a certain affinity or a certain proneness to what? To deen, to judgment. So this guy that always says Dunu Dini must be comes from Shevet Dan. So I saw from the Ma'aram Halawa. The Ma'aram Halawa says, what are they checking his lineage for? He didn't do anything wrong. Usually you only check somebody's lineage if, you know, there's a problem, like we saw in the other Gemara, person acted out of line, exactly. Here, what did he do? He just said, let's go to Beit Din. Why would they now already check his lineage and they found that he came from Dan? So he says like this, they thought that maybe he has a tendency to Avodah Zarah, because the Pasuk says in Melachim, Vayasem et ha'achat bebet el, ve'et ha'ehad bedan, o mishum ha'achi batkuha. Which means, they thought that this guy's always saying, Dunu dini melashon dan. Now we know in the area of Dan, there was also Avodah Zarah. That's where one of the Agalim of Yerovam ben Nevat was established. So they thought, this guy always talking about Dan, Dunu Dini, maybe something's going on with this guy. Then they checked him out and they said, okay, he's only from Shevet Dan, there's not a problem. There was another fellow, the Gemara says, Ahu, Nahava Ka'azil. The guy kept on going around saying, the Amar, Achif Yama, or Achif Yama, by the ocean side, by the water, Asisne Brata, I'm going to establish my palace. The guy always said, when I make some money, I'm going to build my home, I'm going to build it on the ocean. This was his thing. He's talking about an ocean front structure. That she says, Ataken Bironot Imayuli Paltin Libnot, says, if I would have the wherewithal to build Paltin, his palaces, Lo Aiti Kovam Ela Asfatayam, I'm going to build them on the ocean. This guy would always talk about the ocean. They checked his lineage and they found that he came from the tribe of Zebulun. It says Zebulun, where did he rest? He was a sailor at the boat industry by the oceans, by the shore. So therefore, he gave him Zebulun. So the Maharam Halawa says again, the Pasuk says, Lifne Ba'al Sefon Nichot Tachanu Alayam. He says that we see a Pasuk that says, by the Avodah Zarah of Ba'al Sefon Nichot Tachanu Alayam. So this guy was always saying, I'm going to go to the Yab. They said, maybe the guy's got tendency to Avodah Zarah. So they checked him. They said, okay, no, it's just that he comes from Zebulun, and that's the family trait, that they have a proneness towards the water. I once heard from one of the Baalim Musar to explain, what does it mean this fellow says, Dunu Dini, he comes from Dan. Well, what's the lesson? So the explanation is, yes indeed, Dan definitely had a certain beracha towards honesty, towards judgment, towards fairness, towards yashrut, righteousness. But what happened with this son over here, like what happens to many people, you can take a good trait and a positive trait and then go to the extreme with it. This guy over here is very similar to people that we might know today, that every thing that happens with their neighbor, I'll see you in court, or I'm going to sue you. Now, of course you say that's a pursuit of justice, but there's a limit. This guy was always going around, Dunu Dini. Since he took the good midah of Dan and became extreme. That's why Henoch Leibowitz says that midot are called midot. Because in Hebrew the word midah means a measure. Which means when you put salt in a recipe, of course you have to put it in measure. If you put too much, it's no good, it spoils it. If you put too little, you don't taste it. So therefore you have to measure. The same thing with midot. Too much of one midah is no good, and too little is no good. It has to be, like the Rambam writes, derech ha-mimutza, which is the middle, which is the golden path of what Rambam was talking about, of a balance of midot. That was the problem with this guy. Dunu dini. He took a good trait of Shevet Dan, of Din, and he took it, and he it ran amok. The Gemara continues. Now that we've established that now we proved on the previous dapim that the word or of the Mishnah is really urta, which is night, which means that what you have to make bidikat hametz or le'arba'a asar on the night that of the 14th. So it says mechti. Let's analyze. Ben Rabbi Yehuda, uben Rabbi Meir. Whether it's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, which we're going to see their mahloket in the subsequent dapim, exactly when hametz becomes asur on Erev Pesach. There's a mahloket. Rabbi Yehuda says hametz becomes asur after the fourth hour, and Rabbi Meir says it becomes forbidden after the fifth hour. But everybody agrees min haTorah. The hametz is permissible until the end of the sixth hour. Which means from Torah law, on Erev Pesach, which is the 14th, you can eat hametz, benefit from hametz, till the sixth, including the sixth. They happen to make gezerot, and they preempted it a few hours, because of a gezerah, maybe it be a cloudy day, people are not going to know the right time. So the Gemara says, leave that. Everybody, however, does agree, Hametz eno asur ela mishesh shahot ulma'la. That she says, mishesh avru shesh shahot. Meaning when the sixth hour passes. So the Gemara says, v'nibdok b'shit. Why do you have to make the bidikah the night before? Make a bidikah at the beginning of the sixth hour. That she says, nibdok hametz b'tchilat shesh. 12 o'clock, go make bidikat hametz. Vekodem isuro yibaharenu. Right? And before the time of isur comes, you have an hour. Go burn it, get rid of it. Lama le la'agdum kulehai. Why do you have to do the bidikan, get rid of the hametz so early? Debishna ma'i or yimamahu. If you would tell me that what or of the Mishnah means day, I can tell you, that's what the Mishnah meant. Or on the day of the 14th, meaning at the 6th hour, but came into hametz. But now you tell me that or is urta, so it's from the night. Why would they tell you to do it so early when you have really till half of the next day? So the Gemara says, v'chitema zirizin makdimim lemitzvot. Right, you're going to tell me, well, we have a principle that says those people that are zealous, right, the zirizim, they do the mitzvot with alacrity, so they magdim with the mitzvot. So the Gemara says, fine, nibdok mitzafra. So they should check first thing in the morning, dichtiv, like it says by Avraham Abinu, ubayom ha-shemini yimol besar onato. We know when it comes to the mitzvah brit milah, you have the whole 8th day to do the mitzvah. Betanya, but we have the brayta that says, Kol hayom kulo kasher lemila. Ela, shezirizim makdimim lemitzvot. But the zirizim don't wait until mid-afternoon or till late afternoon to do the mitzvah. They do it early. How do you know that it's a mitzvah to do the mitzvot in the earliest time possible, not wait to the last minute? Shre'emar, Tayeshkem Abraham Baboker. That was written by the Akedat Yitzhak. When God told Avraham Abinu to sacrifice his son, so God, Avraham Abinu didn't wait until the afternoon to set out on the journey. It says he got up first thing in the morning, Alot HaShachar, and he set out. So what do you see? That there's an anyan when you have a mitzvah that is in the day, you do it the first thing in the day. So the Gemara says, since the mitzvah of getting rid of the hametz is in the day, right, is in the afternoon, so in the Kanameh, do it, zirizim, don't do it at 12 o'clock, don't wait till the last hour, at least do it from the morning, and you'll fulfill the mitzvah of being zariz. So the Gemara says, Amar of Nachman bar Yitzhak. Gemara gives two basic reasons why we do the bidikat night. Number one, b'sha'a shebnei adam mitzuyim bebatehem. Number one, that's when people are usually found in their homes. People are more prevalent in their homes at night than they are in the morning. In the morning, they're leaving. They're going to work. They're going to out. So therefore, we want to make the bidikah at a time when people are accessible to their homes. So that's why we chose night. And secondly, the oraner yafeh the bidikah. And the candle is better at night. It's more effective at night. You ask a question, though, don't use a candle. You do it the day without a candle. No. There is a value to use a candle, the Rishonim say, because even sunlight doesn't get into the corners and the cracks and the hidden places. And therefore, when a person's going to use a candle at night, he's able to access and get into all those corners. And the light of a candle, even in the corners, as the Gemara will say later on, is more bright in the evening than it is in the day. Yeah, it'll help you in the day, but at night, it's more bright. Therefore, for those two reasons, people are found at home, and or a ner yafeh lebidikah, so that's why the Hakamim said, do it from the night. Let's read Rashi. The or a ner yafeh lebidikah balayla, aval bayom mahshich. Interesting. In the day, there's some sort of change in the light of a candle that what? It darkens. It's not the same. V'im tomar, you're going to ask, yibdok le'or hayom. So maybe you'll tell, we don't need a candle at all. Just check le'or hayom. The Gemara is going to learn later on that there's a mitzvah to use a ner. Okay, so that's that. Now, regarding this proof that the Gemara brought from Avraham Avinu, Vayeshkem Avraham Baboker, that shows us what? That he did the mitzvah the first thing in the morning. So Tosafot asks a question. Look at Tosafot, Tigur HaMetchal Shene'emar. Shene'emar Vayeshkem Avraham Baboker Ve'im Tomar Ve'echi Muchach Me'ay Kerad Dezirizim Makdimim LeMitzvot. How do you learn from over here that the Zerizim and Magdim, Ve'en Magdimim Tfei Mitzafra, and they don't go even earlier than the morning? Ve'ah Beperek Gidan Hashem Chonin Yalif Rabbi Abu Mehakira De Tamir Hakam Lo Yitzi Yehidi Balayla. From this same pasuk we learn a law that says what? A Tamir Hakam should not travel alone at night. What's the proof? Abraham traveled to Akedah in the morning. So, really I can tell you, maybe from the law of Zerizim, Zirizim would say even from the night before. It just Avraham couldn't travel the night before because he's Yahidi. The Gemara wants to tell us, whenever you have a mitzvah, what? The earliest time Zirizim is the morning. What do you mean? Why say the morning? Maybe really Zirizim tells you to do it from the night before, just like Avraham Avinu. If it wasn't for the fact that of the problem of Tamir Hakam shouldn't go late at night alone, maybe he would have went also from the night. Therefore, make the bidikah at night. Why is the Gemara saying from this pasuk, it tells you a mitzvah that applies in the day, you push it up to the morning. Maybe, when does the day start by us? From the night. Push it back to the night before. Don't bring me a proof from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu would have went the night before, were it not for the fact that there's mazikim at night. So Tosfot answers, no. ויש עוד האחר מוכח מקרא דעקדה דלא היה נמנע אברהם מלצאת יחידי בלילה תשלוחי מדבר אינם נזוקים. He says Abraham was involved with the עקדה. That's the פסוק וישכם אברהם בבוקר was בעקדה יצחק. That's a מצווה. And therefore אברהם אבינו was not worried about מזיקים. He would have went the night before because שלוחי מדבר אינם נזוקים. Why did he wait till the morning? Because the law of Zirizim tells you you don't have to go before the morning. Alright, so what was the Gemara Cholin talking about? That's another Vayeshkem Avraham Baboker. That was when it came to the destruction of Sedom. So it says, Avraham Avinu, Vayeshkem Avraham Baboker, he woke up early in the morning, Elamakom Asher Hamad Sham. So there was not a mitzvah. So how come Avraham Avinu didn't pray the night before? Not because he didn't want to go out because it was Inyan of Mezikim, but there was no mitzvah by the case of Sedom. So therefore, you do learn from this case over here, of the Akedah, that he could have went the night before, but wasn't necessary. Zirizim put you to the morning. And the Gemara's final answer is, you're right. Technically, Bidikat Hamet should be in the morning, But what? Because people are found home at night, and because ordinary afen lebedika, so the Hakamim chose to do it at night. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Abaye Hilkach Hait Surba Merabbanan. This Tamid Hakam, or a Tamid Hakam, Lo liftah be'idne be'urta detlesar denaghe arbesar. A Tamid Hakam should not begin a shi'ur or give a Torah lesson that's be'idne, to give his shi'ur, to give his lesson of Torah be'urta detlesar on the night that follows the 13th, denaghe arbesar, which is the night of the 14th. Why? Dilma mashkale shemate. Because we know the nature of Torah. The derash or the learning might, he might get drawn after the limud. And he might come to forget or miss out on the mitzvah. That she says on the first wide line, lo yiftach bi'idna, lo yathil bi'girsa. They don't start a shi'ur. Im kada'et l'torah b'lelo. The guy has a set shi'ur, let's say, in the night. Lo yathil et'asik b'shmachteta. Don't start the learning. Why? Again, because he might get caught up after the midrash, after the shi'ur. Okay. Gemara continues. Now we discuss different questions on people that are renting houses. And the question is going to be on who was the obligation to make the bidikat hametz. Okay, is it on the maskir? We'll call the maskir, I guess, the one that is the landlord, we'll call him. Okay, and we'll call the one that is renting the house, he's called the sochir. Okay, so he's the tenant. Okay, those are the lashon we'll use in English, just so we don't have we don't lose clarity. Okay, so the maskir is the landlord, and the socher is the tenant that is renting the house. Okay, so now the Gemara says, "Ba'u minem Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak." Question I asked Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak: "Hamaskir ba'ayit lahavero be'arba'a asar." A person rents his house to a tenant on the 14th of Nisan. Al mi libdok. On who falls the obligation to make the bidika? Al maskir libdok. Well, one side says the landlord has to make the bidika. Why? The hamira didehava. Because the hametz is his. Any hametz in that house is the landlord's, is the maskir. Or dilma, or maybe you say no. Al sukhir libdok. It's on the tenant to do the bidika, the isura birshute ka'ir. Because bottom line, the hametz is in his possession now, which means he's in the house, and the hametz is by him, and therefore maybe it's on him to check. That's the question. Rashi, third line, the hamira. Read Rashi. The hamira didehu, he hametz shebebayit shelohu. The hametz in the house belongs to the landlord. Next Rashi. Rashi says, shari'ata bayit shelo. Bottom line, now the sukhir, it's his house. So the Gemara's shayla is, to who does the obligation, or we'll call it the tirha, the burden of bidikat hametz fall upon? Now, the Gemara comes along and says, we'll bring a proof. Tashema, hamaskir bayit lahavero, a person that rents a house to his friend, ala socher la'asot lo mezuzah. Huh? When it comes to the law of mezuzah, who's obligated to put up the mezuzah? The one that's leasing the house, the tenant. So, the Gemara wants to say, just like the tenant, the obligation falls on him, because bottom line now, it's his house. So the same thing's going to be when it comes to bidikat hametz. Bottom line, you're living in the house now, you have to make the bidikat hametz. Comes the Gemara and says, la'asot lo mezuzah rashi, third line down, alma midi de mitzvah, Ale Ramya must be that you see when it comes to the mitzvot, whether it's mezuzah, whether it's bedikat hametz, the mitzvah falls upon the person that is in the house now. Now is the obligation of mezuzah, a tenant hangs up the mezuzot. You're in the house now, you have hametz in the house, finished. You have to make the bedikah. Comes the Gemara and says, who says there's a difference? Menachem comes along and says, Hatam by mezuzah, ha'amar rav mesharshia, mezuzah chovat hadarhi. Which means, over there when it comes to mezuzah, the obligation is on the dweller. The obligation is in the one that is in the house. However, here, hacha, mai. But when it comes to bidikat hametz, we're still back to the same question. Because we don't have a rule that says bidikat hametz is on the dweller necessarily. It could be, even though there's somebody dwelling there, the obligation is on the one that owns the hametz. Does she? Chovat hadar lefi shehi mishamarto. Interesting. What's one of the reasons why you're hanging up a mezuzah? For protection. Who needs the protection? The one that's living there. So therefore, uchtiv, al mezuzot said betecha. And what does the Gemara learn from the word betecha? Biatcha, meaning the one that enters. Who's the one that enters? Nechnas, the yoseba. The one that goes in and out. Who's the one that goes in and out? Not the landlord. He's not there anymore. Obviously, it's the dar. It's the one that's there. Abal hacha, now here's Rashi. Needs analyzing. Listen to Rashon of Nashi here. Aval hacha, bidikat hametz derabbanan. Here, the whole institution of bidikat hametz is rabbinical. The imishum bal yira'ehu bal yimatzeh. If you're going to tell me what you mean, bidikat hametz, you need to check the hametz and get rid of it because of the isur of bal yira'ehu bal yimatzeh. So she says, no, ha'amar lekaman, desagile bibitul be'alma. It's enough just to make Bitul, you say the kal hamira, and you make the hametz hefker. If you just take your mind off the hametz, umazvele kafra, but you say to me the hametz is like afar of the earth. The rabbis came along and they were the ones that said, you know what? You have to make a bidika. The ashtaki I gavna me bailan. So in this case over here we're asking Torah ze al mimutal. Which means, it sounds like from Rashi, that since there's two ways to look at it over here. You could say what? Is it on the maskir? That you say it's on the maskir, I understand. It says hametz. If you want to say it's on the socher, why? He's living in the house. Now, we have to stop at that point. So he's living in the house. It's not a mezuzah over here. Mezuzah is chumat adar. Hametz is what? Chumat, the person owns the hametz. Which means, so what? It's not my hametz. Why should the socher be obligated? This is a question that all the mefarshim is, what's the side even to say the socher is hayav? It's not his hametz, it's the hametz of the maskir. What is he checking? I'm going to be hayav on somebody else's hametz? So the Gaon de Vilna holds that yes indeed, that there is a chayuv, that when you are in a house, even though it's not your hametz necessarily, but there's hametz of somebody that's in your house and you're dwelling in that area, in a chayuv there's a sad to say that you would be hayav in the mitzvah of bedikah. I'll quote you the Lashon of the Gaon. The Lashon is as follows. He says like this. שאם יש חמץ של ישראל ברשותו, אף אם אינו חייב באחריותו, even though there's no responsibility, הרי בעל הבית עובר עליו. ואם כן כאן שחמץ הוא של ישראל, meaning this חמץ belongs to a Jew, the מזכיר, יש לומר שהסוחר חייב בבדיקתו, כיוון שהוא בעל הבית. Since בעל הבית, you're considered the בעל הבית now. או שהדבר חשוב שהמזכיר הוא בעל הבית. So therefore, that's just going back to explain the question, what was the Adamin even to say it was the Socher? So then the Gemara came along and said, you know what? We'll bring a proof from Mezuzah. And what's the proof? Just like Mezuzah, the Mitzvah Deoraita, right? Chovat Hadar. So too, when it comes to Bidikat Hametz, I'll come along and say Chovat Hadar. It's on the dweller, and therefore the Socher has the responsibility. To that, Rashi comes along and says, wait, First of all, bidikat hametz is not like mezuzah, it's not a deoraita. Bidikat hametz is the rabbanan. Because really, you're making bitul. And once you're making bitul, that makes it a rabbanan. Now, once it's a rabbanan, I can tell you, don't give me your rule that all mitzvot are on the one that's living there, on the socher, on the tenant. It's not so. It's not a deoraita. This is a mitzvah d'rabbanan, and I have two sides again. Maybe it goes on the maskir because it's his, or maybe it's on the zocher because the hametz is there. And the question is a rabbinical question. Who did the rabbis matriyah to do this mitzvah? Did the rabbis put the burden on the landlord or on the tenant? Now you can ask a question, since when does Rashi hold the bidikat hametz is d'rabbanan? If you remember in the Mishnah on that bit, right? The first Rashi told us, the reason why you make bidika, Balyirem Balyimatzeh. Tosfot is the one that questioned Rashi and said, what do you mean Balyirem Balyimatzeh? Balyirem Balyimatzeh, you do bitul. Now all of a sudden Rashi's coming along on Daf Dal and telling us, nah, bidika is only the Rabbanan. That's a strong question. So I saw from one of the Mefarshim, the Or Hadash, he comes along and says that in Echenamir, Rashi, when he was giving his Pirush on the Mishnah, in the times of the Mishnah, there was no such thing as Bitul Hametz. Bitul Hametz came later, which means originally, the original institution was, you got to get rid of the Hametz. Why get rid of it? The Torah says, Tashbitu. Why Tashbitu? Destroy. Get rid of it. So what did everybody do? For Pesach came, you collect all your Hametz, you burn it. Later on, it was instituted the option of Bitul. Once, which is the times of the Gemara. Once already the Hakamim and the Gemara institute that Bitul is an option, now your Bidika becomes the Rabbanan. Because just make Bitul, it's ownerless, Afla Da'ara, I'm making Bidika, okay, that's already Hakamim. So he wants to say that Rashi in the Mishnah was talking when Bidika was the only option, so he said, Kedeshiro Lahapura Bayre Bayibase. Now already the Gemara is coming along and saying, listen, bottom line, who has to make the Bidika? The Maskir or the Socher? Listen, it's a rabbinical question. So don't bring me a proof from Mizuzah that there's a chova on the dar, and tell me therefore all mitzvot are going to go after Mizuzah. Yeah, maybe the oraitas will follow this sivara chova the dar for this. And therefore I'll matriyach the socher. But this is a drabanan, and I still have two options. I have two sides. So comes the Gemara and says, Hachamai, Amar Lehud of Nachman Bar Yitzhak, Tanina. Hey, listen, we have a blight on this here. What does it say? Hamaskir bayit lachavero. A guy rents a house to his friend. Imad shelo masar lo maftechot hal alba asar. If he didn't transfer the keys before the 14th, which means the transfer of keys to the house was done after the 14th, ala maskir libdok. Finished. Once the hayuv is on the landlord, doesn't matter. The keys were handed over after the obligation was on the landlord must make the bidika. Which means, when does that hayuv come? The night, or l'arba'asar. So if he gave the keys on the 13th, listen, didn't hit me yet, the obligation. It's on you, it's your possession, you handle it. However, once or l'arba'asar comes, right, 1 minute after Shikiyah, he gives him over the keys. So Chay says, listen, it was your obligation. You're 1 minute late. The obligation is on you. But if he gave him the keys first, then Arba'asar came. So that's really the Gemara's concluding answer. That she says in his Perush, Mesirat Maftayach, Hu Kinyan HaSichirut. That's what makes the kinyan of the sichirut, of the agreement over here. V'imad shelo masar maftayach nechnas lil arba asar. If the 14th entered and the keys were not transferred, hala chovat bedika lamaskir shadayin hayta b'rishuto. No transaction was made already. Meaning, before the transaction was made, the hayuv was on him. V'afal pi shemasar lo beyom kevar halav chova alav. Very good. Now the Gemara is say another question. So that's the solution to that question. Mm-hmm. Depends when the keys were given over. The transfer of the keys. Mm-hmm. Comes the Gemara and says, Ba'u minemer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak. Hamaskir bayit lahavero ba'arba'asar. Person rents a house to his friend on the 14th. Hezkato baduk o en hezkato baduk. Could you rely on Hazakah over here and say the house is checked? Meaning, since the 14th came already, and it was the obligation of the Maskir to do the Bedikah, can you assume that what, he did his job, and therefore I don't have to go now and check the house over again? Now obviously, you must be talking about a case where the guy is not around to ask. If the guy's around to ask, you go to the guy and say, listen, did you check the house? I'm answering it, yes or no. Obviously it's not available, as the Gemara is going to say now. The Gemara says, what's enough kamina? Ask him. What kind of dilemma is this? So the Gemara says, he's not around to ask. So therefore the Gemara says, do we matriach burden the renter or the tenant to make bidikah? It's a Torah. You have to go now the whole house and check it. Or do we say, listen, hazakah? Could you assume that it was checked? That's the question. So the Gemara says, we'll bring you a proof. Tanituha. We learned, we have a Tanaic statement. Hakon ne'emanin al bi'ur hametz. Everybody is trusted when it comes to bi'ur hametz. Afilu nashim, afilu abadim, afilu ketanim. Rashi. Which means, if a katan, a minor, comes along and testifies, listen, I saw the owner of this house last night, he made bidikah, you trust his testimony. Normally a katan's testimony is not accepted. Nashim, whose testimony is normally not accepted, you accept them. Evet kenani, you accept them. So the Gemara says, "My ta'amam mehimne." What's the reason why you believe these people that are not normally believed? Rashi, please, on the bottom says, "Ha lav bene ashudeninu." These people are not kosher witnesses. Lav mishum must be the below amiradidu namim mehaskina lebaduk, which means must be. It, even without their testimony, you have a hazakah that once it's the 14th, hazkato baduk. So therefore, it's really not their testimony. Which is, even if they didn't say anything, you would believe on your own. Why? Because a guy is not going to transgress, as she says, against the hakamim. Even an amaris, when it comes to bidikat hametz, he is mahmir on this, like the Gemara says, hakol zirizin. So comes the Gemara says, lav mishum dehizkato baduk. Must be that you say, the reason why you trust these people, because of hazakah, that it was checked. And why do you assume that? The kasabar hakol haverim em etzel bidikat hametz. Everybody's considered a tamid hakam, a rabbi, when it comes to the mitzvah of bidikat hametz. Meaning, even an ama'aris that is not normally believed, and you can't assume in other cases, but bidikat hametz, everybody is like a tamid hakam. Now, what's an example of a tamid hakam that you give him a hazakah? So Gemara gives an example, the Tanya. Chaver shemet. You have a tamid hakam, he passed away. Ve'niyach megoram mele'a perot. And he left a pile or a basket filled with fruit. Afilu hen b'nei yoman. Even if they were just picked. Harei hen b'chizkat metukanim. You could assume that he gave the ma'asir, and he gave all the entitlements, and you could eat from the fruit. Hazakah, a tamir hakam will not leave something in his house, even for a moment, that is not permissible to eat. So they're showing you that that's in tamir hakam as hazakah in other things. In Amaris, on the other hand, you have to assume that the perot in his house, even if it's not b'nei yoman, you have to assume he didn't take the ma'asir. So that's where you see a difference between haverim and ama'aris. But when it comes to bidikat hametz, even an ama'aris is like a haver. So what do you see? Answer to our question. Hezkato baduk. Comes the Gemara and says, no. Umimai. Who told you? Dilma shani hacha mishum deka amre haneh. Maybe the only reason why you trust in this case is because they're testifying. Which means, because the Nashim and the Ketanim and the Abadim are coming on to say, we saw. Maybe without their testimony, I'll really tell you, Hizkato Eno Baduk. But here, they're testifying. So the Gemara says, they're testifying. Atu Amira Dehane Mide Meshasha Itbe. Does their testimony have any weight? They don't have any credibility. So therefore, it's not their testimony that's doing it. So Ela must be what? It's the fact that Hizkato Baduk. So the Gemara says, Ela Mai, the Hizkato Baduk. Hai Hakol Ne'emanim. The statement doesn't make any sense then. Why did it say they're all believed? It's something to do with them. It should say, you know what, the reason why the house is okay? Because every house on the 14th has kato baduk. It's got nothing to do with their testimony. You tell me their testimony has no teeth. Their testimony has no validity. Ella, what is it? The hazakah. So why would the statement say, "Kol abatim ne'emanim ve'katan ve'nashim ve'abadim"? It's not them. So the Gemara says, "Ela mai." Ela, what do you want to say? Mishum amira dehane. How are we going the other way? Must be the only reason why you trust in this case is because they testified. Ha lo amrehane, implying that if they didn't give their testimony, lo. Tifshot mineh, you could solve the question and say, the en hizkato baduk. So must be really en hizkato baduk. And the only reason why is because the statement of the braita was what? Only because they testified. Without that testimony, you cannot assume that what? It was checked. So the Gemara thinks it has an answer. En hizkato baduk. Gemara says, no. Lo. Ve'olam emalach hizkato baduk. I can argue from this, I have no proof, but I can argue and really tell you hizkato baduk. Ve'acha b'may askinan demuhzak lan delo badak. This case over here is, we know for a fact hazaka clear, he did not, the balabait did not check the house. It's not the issue over here. The issue was not whether we're relying on hazakah or not. Ve'ka'amre haneh, these ketanim or nashim or avadim came along and said, badikne, we checked it. Ma'u detema lo lehimninu rabbanan. I would have thought that what? Maybe we shouldn't believe them. Kamash ma'alan kevan de bedikat hametz bed rabbanan hu. Since bedikat hametz is only the Rabbanan, why? The Midoraita bebitul be'alma sagele. Because again, Midoraita, the bitul of the Balabayit really it takes care of the Midoraita issues. So himnu Rabbanan the Rabbanan. The rabbis believe these people on a Rabbanan. Rashi says like this. Bibitul be'alma dichtiv tashbitu. Right? The Torah uses the word tashbitu se'or. Ve'lo kiriv ketiv tebaru. It doesn't say burn the hametz. Ve'ashpata delev hi hashpata. So that's very important. Rashi l'shitato holds the source of bitul is the word tashbitu. That's where he gives a biblical source for the concept, at least, of bitul. Tosfot takes Rashi to task. Tosfot in Dibura Batemed Oraita says, Pirush bekuntras, bidichtiv tashpitu velo ketiv tebaru, alma hashpata balevi. The kasheliri, be'ai hashpata habarahi velo bitul. He says, later on you're going to see clearly from that word tashbitu, they learned the laws of biur hametz from the word tashbitu. So what are you talking about? So he comes along and he says, Tosfot, later on in his answer, ve'omer ri de medoraita bebitul ba'am masagi mitam de me'achar shebetlo have efker. It's sebara. Once you make it bitul, it's ownerless. Once it's ownerless, you can't be hayav. You don't need a pasuk to tell me bitul works. The point is, you can't own hametz. You don't own the hametz. So while Rashi learns it from tashbitu, Tosfot learns it from sebara. Good. Next point, Rashi, Bedrabbanan, next Rashi, Himnu Rabbanan, Behayuba. Deleta ela mitrabanan.
They're the ones that obligated bidika in a case where bitul was made. So him amru vehem amru. The same rabbis that said you need bidika, they'll come along and say you could trust a minor and a lady and an ibid.
Lesmoch b'amiratam shel elu dekoach bidehem laminam b'midin jilav deoraita.
Their power on something that's not a deoraita to give them the emanut.
Only question is, it sounds like from this Gemara, that had bidikat hametz been a deoraita, we would not believe, for example, the ladies.
Only because it's Rabbanan.
So Tosfot asks an obvious question. We see many places in the Torah, we trust ladies on the deoraita. A lady goes to the mikveh. Don't you trust her that she went to the mikveh? She's believed. She has to bring ideams? No. What about in the kitchen? We eat from our wives are cooking. What do we? We trust her. That what? That the food is kasher, and that's a deoraita. She kosher the meat. She makes a nikur. Don't you trust her in the deoraita? It's much with this Gemara. Bidikat hametz is only the rabbanan, nashim. You can believe them. Mashma is deoraita. You can't believe them. Why can't you believe them? So comes the Tosafot. Read the Tosafot. Hemnu rabbanan with rabbanan. Afal gav. Bechol davar shu biyadam,
anything that's in their control,
me'emina li'un l'nashim v'abadim, v'afilu b'deoraita, de'ma'asim bechol yom, she'anu ma'aminim le'isha ve'eved, ala shechita v'ala nikur.
Right? The ladies regarding the shechita, the meat, regarding the nikur, taking out the veins, the gida nashe and all that, in the old days, you know, who'd you rely on to make the nikur? The woman in the kitchen to make nikur on the animals. They devein the animal from all the gida nashe, which is asur. And that's the oraita.
So scroll down a little the Tosafot. And the Tosafot comes out and says the following. It's on the... Mikol makom, the first white line. Mikol makom, gabe bedikat hametz, afal gav de biyadayim. Mikol makom, ihavi midoraita lo mehemnina lehu, mishum di ikat hayetirta.
Because to make bedikat hametz is a very big Torah. It's a big burden. Not the way some people make bidikat hametz in 5 minutes, but you see, in the olden days, the bidikat hametz was and they didn't have such big houses like we have. You know, they had one small little room, and still bidikat hametz was doraita. And Tosfot goes on and says, "Betzarich dikduk gadol." It needs great scrutiny. And the ladies are not as diligent in this case over here, and therefore they don't get a ne'emanut. That's at least Tosfot's answer, that while on things that take great tirha, you don't trust the nashim. Others. Others explain.
Nikur.
Yeah, I guess not as hard as bidikat hametz.
We don't know anybody that...
I guess nikur, you're standing in front of the piece of meat, you just, you know, you're cutting it out, you don't got to run around upstairs, downstairs, and do all the cleaning. In any event, other Rishonim answer differently. I'll read you the other Rishonim, and say it like this, that... I'll quote you these Rishonim over here. It says like this, Ha'itur katav. The itur writes, "Dechiyechi deshchita kesherab benashim benashim mehemne ha'kenami mehemne ve'had amrin nakol ne'emanim bedikat hametz shenu rabbanan bedrabanan demash madelo mehemne bedeoraita ha'ish shenuya aketanim ka'e." The itur learns that this answer that the rabbis gave in the emanut is only going on the ketanim. Really, nashim would be believed on bidikat hametz, even if it was deoraita. Aval nashim bechulu mehemne be'ed echad. So therefore, that's a different answer. There's no such thing as terhayet terah, atzlut, all that. Nashim have a hemaru. What does it mean? But since the rabbis gave them a... that answer is only going back on part of the cases of the braita. Only on the cases of ketanim and abadim. The chidush is even they... or believe they never have an emanut. You give them the bidikat hametz since it is the rabbanan. Oh, so back to our question. Very good point. Our question is really left in abeyance. Our question started off, you rent the house from a guy on the 14th.
Hizkato Baduk, when Hizkato Baduk, we thought to bring a proof, but we really said, no, this case of his definitely was not Hizkato Baduk, and the only Sheila is, do you believe them that they made the Bidika? Well, that's a different Sheila. Do they have a Ne'emanut or not? But the house, we don't know. So the Rishonim grapple back and forth, how do you posik in such a case? So some want to say that since it's only the Rabbanan, and the Gemara leaves it in an abeyance, so you can go Likuna, and therefore you can assume that what? Hezkato Baduk. And incidentally, that's the way that the Halakha rules. That when you rent a house on that day, and the guy's not around to ask, he's nowhere to be found, you can't assume Hezkato Baduk. Comes the Gemara and continues. Ibai Elihu. Right? Question. Hamaskir Bayit Lahavero. Now, we'll see the case first, and you'll see that this question actually has bearings on the case that we just had above. Ibai Elihu. Hamaskir Bayit Lahavero. Behizkat Baduk. When he rented the house, it had a chazakah on it already that it was checked. Umetzao she'eno baduk. And then, exactly, then the tenant saw it's all hametz all over the place. Says, what kind of business is over here? I rented the house and the guy said, chizkato baduk, which is the assumption was that it was checked, and now already sees that it wasn't checked, so he wants to get out of the sale. Wants to get out of the contract. Mahu. Mi have kemekach ta'ut. Do we say that it's a mikach ta'ut, meaning now the contract is null and void, and he can get out? Or no? Or do we say, no, he can't get out? Now, first of all, we have to understand what exactly is the case. When did he rent the house? So first, let's look at Ashi for a second. Mi have mikach ta'ut, ve'im ba'asokhen lahazor bo al yedei alilotav, ולומר לא כך שכרתי ואין תנאי שלנו קיים מהו לחזור. It means, can the guy come along and say, listen, the false pretense, I rented a house on the assumption that it was checked and now it's not, can you use that to back out? תוספות המזכיר בית לחברו בחזקת שהוא בדוק ונראה לרשבה בשלושה עשר עירי. You have to say the case was, it was on the 13th of Nisan when the contract was made and the house was given over. Which means there's no question already. We learned in the earlier sugya, once he transfers keys on the 14th already, once the 14th comes already, and then you transfer keys, it's no questions on the maskir the dog, which is there's no shayla over here. When the maskir comes along, the soker comes along and has a question, there's nothing to talk about. The maskir has to make the bidika, and therefore he didn't make the bidika. There's no shayla. Oh, the questions are on the 13th. On the 13th, where there's really no obligation yet on the maskir. You can do it earlier. The Gemara is going to tell you later on that bidika can be done from earlier. But the point is, since the hayuv per se did not fall on yet the maskir, because it was on the 13th, but what? When he rented it to him, he told him it's all taken care of. It's all handled. So now, the question, it was the haskah that it was checked. That's the point. So now the question is, who can the socher use this to as leverage to back out? So the Gemara says to this question the following. Tashema. Gemara says, Tashema, the Amar Abaye. Lo mibaya be'atra de lo yehave agra ubadku. There were different customs in different places. In certain places, lo yehavu agra, they wouldn't pay money for other people to make the bidika for them. Seems like we said bidika was a big burden, right? So there were certain people that they loved to do the bidika in certain towns themselves. They wouldn't lease or they wouldn't hire people to pay money to do this mitzvah. So the Gemara says, if this story with the maskir and the socher happened in the town, but they checked themselves, because the assumption is people like to do the mitzvot by themselves. So in that case over there, we tell the socher, for sure you have to check. Which means, you gotta stay. Which means, you're coming along to what? to say, hey, mikach ta'ut, say, listen, nihale, a person would rather do the mitzvah himself. Now you have an opportunity to do the bedikah yourself. Take advantage of it, do the mitzvah yourself. And what? You're probably using this bedikat hametz item as an excuse to get out of it, because you have other reasons. You changed your plans, or you have different excuse now, so you want to blame it on the bedikat hametz. And we're not going to let you get out because of bedikat hametz. On the contrary, we say what? Once a person finds out, oh, there was no bedikat hametz done over here, beautiful! Now the mitzvah is on me. And then the Gemara, especially when it doesn't cost him any money. Mm-hmm. He doesn't hire a guy. He hired for a guy to do it himself. The Gemara says, Ela, afilu be'atra dihave agra. Even in a place where the custom is, you hire, you pay money in order to get people to do the bidikah, but still, you can't claim mekach ta'ut. Because still, a person would rather fulfill a mitzvah with his money then give it up to somebody else. Rashi, please. Rashi says, lo mebaya. Lo mebaya. Hecha delo yave agra le'achirim. And they don't hire other people, they don't pay people. Ubadku. Ela kol ish ve'ish bodeket beto. Delo matzele memar le'mekach ta'ut. Right, he can't come along and say, oh, if I didn't know it wasn't checked, I wouldn't have rented. Nah, he would have rented it. Why? Because a person wants to do the mitzvah on his own. Because even if he would have known it's not checked, you can assume he wouldn't leave it for that. Why? Because people want to do the mitzvah. So you're just fooling around now. Even in a place where it's going to cost them money. So a guy comes along and says, hey, listen, now, it cost me $100 to go hire a guy to do the bidikah. Doesn't matter. Even if you knew you would have had to pay $100 from the beginning, you still would have taken the house. Why? That's he. Everybody hires the bodek. Kol ish bebeto. The ika ash the hasron kis. Now it's costing him money. Afilu ache iyada be etmol de lo badik lo ave hadar be. He wouldn't have retracted. Why? Te ni hale. It's ni haf him. Be hai de ka hadar be bishum milta harit you. He's only backing out now because of another reason. The askach meta harit. He's just shapirta mine. He found a better house. He found a better rental. So now he found a better rental. So he wants to get out of it. So he's using the bidikat hametz. That's not so. If you would have known you had to do it yourself, or you had to pay money, we assume nihale. It's nihale for a person to do the mitzvot in that way. Now, again, if you say that the case was on the 14th. Then you really have an answer to our original question. Right. The question before that. Which is, if let's say the rental was on the 14th, so the Gemara is saying, Mehizkato Baduk. Why is it Mehizkato Baduk? Which means, must be, you assume that when you rent on the 14th, Hazakah is Baduk. That answers the dilemma that we have before. And some of these shouldn't even bring that as the proof. Some say, yeah, this case was on the 14th. And if it was from this dilemma that you see that they must have concluded in a khaname, when you rent on the 14th, hazakah, well, obviously the guy didn't talk over here. You didn't have communication with the landlord. If he came along and said, I did or I didn't, that's another story. We're only relying on hazakah. Hazakah means, what's the assumption? So Tosfot, for that reason, learns the case on the 13th. He doesn't want to get involved there. Eh? The Gemara before left it up in abeyance. On the 14th, is this hazakat baduk or is it not baduk? So he says the case is on the 13th. Oh, so on the 13th already, we don't normally say Hezkato Baduk. But in this case, you have to say it was a scenario where he assumed that it was Baduk or not. And then the Gemara says, doesn't matter. Even if he finds that it's not, Nihale, either to do it himself or to do it with money, and he can't use that as a alibi to get out of the contract. Comes the Gemara and continues. Incidentally, the Rishonim do point out when we say nihale leishikomim etzva b'mamoneh b'mkom schar mu'at. It's a menial fee over here. It's not like he has to pay thousands of dollars. Sheilu b'schar gadol. However, if it's going to cost him a lot of money, then we don't assume that the guy's willing to bounce. Exactly. Okay, so that's that point as well. Now, comes again and continues. I just want to point out one more point from the Mefarshim. One of the Mefarshim writes, "She'im itna'imo beferush shehu baduk." If the Maskir explicitly said, you know, it's baduk, pshita she'im matzo she'eno baduk shu mekach ta'ut. Yes. So that, like I said before, it's only discussing in a case over here where there was no verbal right. It was everything was under assumption over here. Okay. So if you're learning, like we said, it's on the 14th, you're relying on a hazakah. You say what? The hazkato baduk, and when he found it's not baduk, so they want to know it's a it is or not. So that's one way of learning the question. Okay. One more point in the Gemara. Gemara says Tanan. We learned later on. Where is later on? That's the command daf yud aleph mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says, "Ochlin kol hamesh erev Pesach is yud dalid." You're able to eat hametz the entire fifth hour. The surfin b'tehilat shesh, and the sedefa takes place on the beginning of these six. So he preempts the bedikah an hour. Okay, because normally from the Torah you have to get rid of it at the end of the sixth. He tells you got to get rid of the beginning of the sixth. The Yudah Omer, Ochlin Kol Arba. He says, no, you can eat the whole fourth hour. Tolin Kol Hamesh, the fifth hour you cannot eat anymore. Tolin, you leave it in abeyance. That she says you can feed it to the animals. You can still have Hana'a, but you yourself cannot eat it. V'sorfin b'tchilat shesh. And he agrees that you burn it, you have to get rid of it by the beginning of the sixth hour. Let's read the Rashi. Third white line, v'sorfin b'tchilat shesh, v'lo yamtin ad tchilat sheva. Don't wait till the end of the sixth hour. Shu asub Torah. The fisha adam to'ay b'shaot. Because people can make a mistake on the time. So therefore they preempt them. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, to'ay adam yoter mikan. A person makes a mistake more than 1 hour. V'sarik l'traik min avara yoter. V'lo yochad mesuf arba ol ma'ala. Once the fourth hour passes, don't eat. Tolin, lo ochlin v'lo sorfin. Well, you don't eat, but you don't burn as well in the fifth hour, according to the Biyuda. Kilomar, en sanich lesrof. You don't have to burn. Umachidu lebehemto. You mean you can still benefit, meaning you can still feed it to your animals. Aval hu, lo yochal. Good. So the Gemara says, according to everybody, dekul alma miya hametz meshesh sha'ot ulma'ala asur. Everybody agrees that minat Torah, hametz is not asur from the night before. Hametz is asur from after the sixth hour. Where'd they get that from? So now we're looking for the source of how do you know that Shat Isur Hametz begins after the sixth hour on Erev Pesach, on the 14th. Everybody agrees. Where does it come from? Minalan. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Tre Kira'e Ketiv. Two Pesukim. Ketiv, one Pesuk says, Shivat Yamim Se'or Lo Yimatze Bebatechem. 7 days, you cannot find hametz in your dwellings. Uchtiv, we have another pasuk that says, "Ach bayom arishon tashbitu seor mebatechem." How's that possible? Bayom arishon, if the yom arishon means the first day of Pesach, you just told me 7 days you can't have hametz. Now bayom arishon is the first day I got rid of it. So what does bayom arishon mean? So the Gemara says, "Haketzad lerabot arba'a asar." Lebiur must mean that that Yom Rishon Tashbitu is not Yom Rishon of Pesach. Must be it's the Erev Pesach, the day before. Rashi Ha Ketzad Lerabot Dal Korchach Hay Rishon Rishon Kodem Lechol Shiva Kamar Dehainu Arba Asar. Okay, Erev. So the Gemara says Ve'ema Lerabot Lele Hamisha Asar Lebiur. Who said? Maybe, yeah, it means you have to get rid of the hametz from the night of the 15th. It's the night that we have seder. Maybe that's what Torah is telling you. Ak bayom rishon. I mean, when's yom rishon? In that night. Who told you got to go all the way to Erev Pesach? Maybe bayom rishon is when it says in the Torah, shivat yamim, it means days. 7 days you don't have hametz. because you got to get rid of the chametz on the first night of Pesach. Because I might have thought to say yamim ketiv. Doesn't it say in the pasuk shivat yamim seor lo yimatzeh yamim in lelot lo? Which means I would think that what you need 7 complete days and not nights. Rashi, bottom Rashi, ve'ema lerabot leil hamisha asad shelo yamtin ad haboker. Don't wait till the first day of Pesach. Nachi kamar. Ach, bechnisat yom rishon miyad, tashbitu. Deim is shivat yamim, but you tell me shivat yamim, no problem. Hava amina yamim in, lelot, no. And kamash ma'alan, the pasuk comes along and says, the hadush is, afilu lelot. And therefore you're going to come and tell me that what? That even this inyan of getting the lelot as well, meaning you're going to have to make the bi'ur from there. So at this point the Gemara is saying that really the source of making bi'ur hametz on Erev Pesach bi'od yom is from the reconciliation of these two pesukim. The fact that it says shavachat yamim and it says b'yom rishon tashbitu, so must be that that yom rishon must mean yom rishon of Erev Pesach. And what? I would have thought that what? That really I can get rid of it at night of the 15th. And the Shavuot Yamim is just the days. And the Bazook is telling me, no. Ak bayom harishon tashbitu. What is yom? The day, not at night. And therefore you have to get rid of it at Pesach by day. So that at this point is the proof of the Gemara. Because if it wasn't said by Yom Rishon, I can tell you what, it means get rid of it at night. Get rid of it at night and you still have the, no problem of Shivat Yamim. By Yom Rishon Tashbitu, you do it on Erev Pesach. So that's at this point the proof of Hashpatah, meaning getting rid of Hametz on the 14th.